Chapter 21 of Candidates for Church Membership. The select body entitled First Members are the aristocracy of the Mother Church, the charter members, the Aborigines, a sort of stylish but unsalaried little college of cardinals, good for show, but not indispensable. Nobody is indispensable in Mrs. Eddy's empire, she sees to that. When the pastor emeritus sends a letter or message to that little Sanhedrin, it is the clerk's imperative duty to read it to the place and time specified. Otherwise, the world might come to an end. These are fine large frills, and remind us of the ways of emperors and such. Such do not use the penny post, they send a gilded and painted special messenger, and he strides into the parliament, and business comes to a sudden and solemn and awful stop, and in the impressive hush that follows, the chief clerk reads the document. It is his imperative duty. If he should neglect it, his official life would end. It is the same with this Mother Church clerk. If he failed to perform this important function of his office, certain majestic and unshirkable solemnities must follow. A special meeting shall be called. A member of the church shall make formal complaint. Then the clerk shall be removed from office. Complaint is sufficient. No trial is necessary. There is something very sweet, and juvenile and innocent and pretty about these little tinsel vanities, these grave apings of monarchical fuss and feathers and ceremony, here on our ostentatiously democratic soil. She is the same lady that we found in the autobiography, who was so naively vain of all that little ancestral military riffraff that she had dug up in the next. A person's nature never changes. What it is in childhood, it remains. Under pressure, or a change of interest, it can partially or wholly disappear from sight, and for considerable stretches of time, but nothing can ever permanently modify it, nothing can ever remove it. Board of Trustees, there isn't any now. But with power and money piling up higher and higher every day, and the church's dominion spreading daily wider and farther, a time could come when the envious and ambitious could start the idea that it would be wise and well to put a watch upon these assets, a watch equipped with properly large authority. By custom, a board of trustees. Mrs. Eddy has foreseen that probability, for she is a woman with a long, long look ahead, the longest look ahead that ever a woman had, and she has provided for that emergency. In art. I. Sec. 5, she has decreed that no board of trustees shall ever exist in the Mother-Church, except it be constituted by the pastor emeritus. The magnificence of it, the daring of it. Thus far, she is the Massachusetts Metaphysical College, Pastor Emeritus, President, Board of Directors, Treasurer, Clerk, and future Board of Trustees, and is still moving onward, ever onward. When I contemplate her from a commercial point of view, there are no words that can convey my admiration of her. Readers, these are a feature of first importance in the church machinery of Christian Science. For they occupy the pulpit. They hold the place that the preacher holds in the other Christian churches. They hold that place, but they do not preach. Two of them are on duty at a time, a man and a woman. One reads a passage from the Bible, the other reads the explanation of it from science and health, and so they go on alternating. This constitutes the service, this, with choir music. They utter no word of their own. Art. IV. Sec. 6, closes their mouths with this uncompromising gag. They shall make no remarks explanatory of the lesson sermon at any time during the service. It seems a simple little thing. One is not startled by it at a first reading of it, nor at the second, nor the third. One may have to read it a dozen times before the whole magnitude of it rises before the mind. It far and away oversizes and outclasses the best business idea yet invented for the safeguarding and perpetuating of a religion. If it had been thought of and put in force 1870 years ago, there would be but one Christian sect in the world now, instead of 10 dozens of them. There are many varieties of men in the world, Consequently, there are many varieties of minds in its pulpits. This ensures many differing interpretations of important scripture texts, and this in turn ensures the splitting up of a religion into many sects. It is what has happened. It was sure to happen. Mrs. Eddy has noted this disastrous result of preaching, and has put up the bars. She will have no preaching in her church. As he has explained all essential scriptures, and set the explanations down in her book. In her belief, her underlings cannot improve upon those explanations, and in that stern sentence they shall make no explanatory remarks as he has barred them for all time from trying. She will be obeyed, there is no question about that. In arranging her government as he has borrowed ideas from various sources, not poor ones, but the best in the governmental market, but this one is new, this one came out of no ordinary business head. This one must have come out of her own. There has been no other commercial skull in 1,000 centuries that was equal to it. As he has borrowed freely and wisely, but I am sure that this idea is many times larger than all her borrowings bulk together. One must respect the business brain that produced it, the splendid pluck and impudence that ventured to promulgate it, anyway. Election of readers. Readers are not taken at haphazard, any more than preachers are taken at haphazard for the pulpits of other sects. No, readers are elected by the board of directors. But Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.